This sermon was downloaded from www.spiritnerds.org. We equip Christians with thousands of strategic spiritual materials daily. Join millions of Christians around the world who have come to Spirit Nerds to learn about God and His Word today.
Seated on the circles of the earth, you are called the governor of the nations. You are the ruler of the universe. You are called the Alpha and you are called Omega. Your name is El Elyon. There is no other one that is as high as you are. It is unto you that we have come this morning. Lord, receive all the glory, all the praise. And Lord, I ask in the name of Jesus that you will do miracles. You will touch the lives of your sons and daughters with your word. Father, we thank you. Thank you for House of Treasures. Thank you for the Republic of South Africa. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Are you excited like I'm excited? Clap your hands, oh ye people. Come on, clap those hands like you have never done them before. Hallelujah. And before you sit down, do me a favor. Go to three people. Tell them you smell good, you look good. I'm so glad to be by your side. Amen. Yeshua. You are. You may be seated. Amen. I feel something this morning. Amen. Hold the hand of somebody by your side. Let's just pray it in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Just hold somebody by your side. Hold that person. Open your mouth. Lift your voice. Say, Frade Katavahas. Come on. Come on in this building. Ledrevi Katavos Hisavate. Come on. Travos Susapande. Kilamandro Tae Selavata. Come on. You can lift your voices in the Holy Ghost. Si Patanda Kaya. Proves Seta. Nimando Caprado Sotahande. Lela Vatre Keta. Come on, come on. Come on. Zuzavatre say Semaha. Keliato Bakadishta. Lele Deva Ko Tupa Tate. Come on, come on. You can lift your voices. Come on. Terialaba Sita. Leteva Kato Posh Tete. Sitra Vande Katos. Come on, come on, come on. Lift your voices. Silavatra te. Se katopa. Silavrando. Etre te fasa. Koria tope le katande. Ita palekro. Sutra vata. Shaba power topate. Power shinamate. Sote panda ka. Come on, come on, come on. Shata ketepa, zuzavata, celebrate hato, shata keto branda, siria teta, suda ket pretato, atopa ata, for your children, come on, for this church, come on, lift your voices up, pa keteada, for your business, shimatande, for your kikata, shariato, sempravata, listen, listen, listen. Could you give me some more volume on this monitor? Hear me. Hear me. You would have thought, Apostle, that Jesus resurrecting was the key. And he dealt it. Hold that hand. Don't disconnect. Hold the hand. And that was where redemption was. But yes, that was what it was. But there was a greater dimension of power that Satan got confused of. It was in the gathering in the upper room. For the first time, they spoke a language Satan had no clue. He had no clue. He was lost. They were mysteries. He was a representation of something. The governors of the earth are here today. I don't know if I'm talking. I said the governors of the earth are here today. You will open your mouth and utter mysteries. Oh, yes. And utter decrees. Oh, yes. And then God is going to use those things that you are declaring and bring about a change in our city. Are you ready to say those prayers one more time? Lift your voice in the Holy Ghost. Come on. Come on. Tapa setava. Setravaho sota. Come on, church, come on. Let a man don't talk his feet up. Let part of the dress it out. Shaprata hike sota. Let cross sota pandeka. Te predete que te vato. Sapre besota domo. Le rianto posto pande. Le pataka zeta. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. First of all, I want to greet my friend, my dear brother, and his amazing wife. You guys are just something else, I tell you. Something else. From my heart, thank you for all that you do. I give you my respects this morning, thank you. I don't know how you can sit and clap for these quintessential leaders. Can we just I don't know how you can, just can we bless God for all them? Amen. Thank you to the leaders in the house. You know, I love you all so much. Love you dearly. To all the fivefold ministry gifts that are represented, sons and daughters of the apostle, thank you. Amen. I want to speak. I arrived about 4 a.m. this morning after a very long flight. And there's only one human being on the earth that has the authority. But God has a word. I want to teach this morning if it flows in my heart. Turn your Bibles. Let's begin there. Isaiah chapter 9, and I want to read two verses. Verses 6 and verse 7. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. Keep playing. Don't take your hands off there. Keep me in that flow. Thank you. 6 and 7. Very interesting scripture. It says, "For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God." Is this phrase, "the Mighty God," that caught my attention? We're going to get into it. The Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord's house will perform it." Father, breathe upon your word. In Jesus' name. But just stay there and I'll need you. Amen. My emphasis this morning will be on us, because the theme is a very large theme. And so the title of my message is "The Governmental Church." And I'm going to lay emphasis for many reasons. And by the way, I just wanted to greet you particularly. Thank you. Every time I hear you speak, I just get blessed. Thank you. Thank you so much. The reason why it has to do with us is that in preparing this homily, I looked up the definition of the word government, just to help my understanding. And the word government, according to Google, is the group of people with authority to govern. A group of people with authority to govern. And I began to see, Apostle, that when we talk about government, we actually talk about us, the body of Christ. In other words, it is God's strategy to rule the earth through his senators. So we have to then find out the scope and sphere of our authority and understand that we have been called legislators to change the modus operandi on the earth, for me to grasp the gargantuan sides of this homily, I have to go back in time. And my attention was drawn to Moses the prophet. Moses was a phenomenal human being and of incredible significance. And yet, please hear me carefully, everyone who is born again today is of a higher class than Moses. It's coming. I feel it. And when I say higher class, I don't even mean one step. Because what we are dealing with in our time, Moses could only hope for. It's interesting I draw attention to it because you have to figure out what Moses understood. Because Moses understood some depths in his walk with God. Incredible depths. In fact, like Pastor just alluded, that there were some encounters that Moses exhibited while he was on earth that the church that is of a higher order can't even exhibit. But yet, we are supposed to be greater than Moses. Please follow my thought process carefully. And so, please, for those of you putting up the scriptures, you walk with me. In Hebrews 11 and verse 26, put it up. I'm just take my time to build it a little, and I'll preach it in the end. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 26. Glory to God. The Bible says, put it up. It says, esteeming, talking about Moses here. He said, esteeming the reproach of Christ. So hold on a second. How would Moses be esteeming the reproach of Christ if Christ wasn't in his time? That is to show you that they knew he was coming, but they didn't know how. And they didn't know when. So they couldn't function by faith. They functioned in hope. And that hope was to speak of the future. But yet, keep the scriptures up there. Don't take it off. But yet, watch what it says. It says, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. So all these houses and cars and money is not it. Because if we don't figure it out quickly enough, we're going to miss the track. Because we have now reduced the gods in the earth to houses. So we deem your success by the houses you have or where you live or the car you drive. Moses, who didn't see Christ, yet he esteemed the reproach that it was greater than all the money Egypt could muster. I was scared when I read the scripture because now I'm beginning to say to myself, so we need to figure out what the blessing truly is. And then in figuring out what the blessing truly is, we then understand who we truly are. Because if all that we're all about is the materials, and please don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with those material things. But that's not the blessing. It's not. You don't need God to get a house. Keep your credit clean, you get a house. Because if you are coming to church and then all your prayers are so that you would have it. In fact, when you read the other salutees of prayer, when they said, teach us how to pray, he said, this is the model. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth, not on earth, in earth, as it is in heaven. It is when that kingdom has come, then he says, give us this day our daily bread. Bread does not come before kingdom. Please follow me carefully, because this is a heavy theme that our leader has given us. So Moses had incredible encounters with God. Strange encounters. One of the ones that comes to my mind quickly is in the book of Exodus chapter 33, when Moses confronted God. Moses must have, he knew something. This guy knew something. And what he knew is not a tenth of what we should know. And I'll show it to you. Because after today, you will carry that government everywhere. Oh, your amen is finding my trouble. Moses, in one of his encounters, apostle, he said to the Lord, Lord, if your presence is not going, we are not going. When Moses spoke like that, Apostle Felix, he was trying to utter something that his spirit didn't have the capacity to fathom. He wasn't just making a statement. There was something he had worked in with God that words couldn't vocalize it. So he said to the Lord, show me thy glory. He was that audacious to ask God. And in the many encounters of Moses, you would find that God attended to what he asked for. He never asked for a wife. He didn't ask for a house. He didn't ask for a job. He didn't ask for a car. Because for some reason, in the thought of Moses, he knew that if he could establish this government that was resting in the spirit, the government will provide. I don't know if you understand that the ambassador of the United States to South Africa, he doesn't have to think about a house or protection. Somebody is sitting down somewhere in Washington, D.C., and they are making sure that if you touch him, you touch them. Moses figured it out. And then Moses said, show me. And then God said to Moses, he said, you can't see my face. The truth of the matter is, God doesn't really have a face. The reason why they use the word face is so that it can help our cognitive abilities. Our mind can conceptualize God. God is many-sided. I'm going to show you. Just allow me. And then God says, you can't see my face. In other words, what God was saying to Moses is, there is too much of me that your human body can't contain. That's what he was saying. So he says to Moses, I will hide you in the cleft of the rock and I will pass by. I will then give you permission to see my hinder parts. If we're to use today's English, that would mean to see my backside. But God is a spirit. So spirits don't have backside. Have you ever watched any of those cartoons that looks like they, where they have a ghost? A ghost doesn't have anything. So what did God allow Moses to see when he passed? There was no way Moses could have written the Pentateuch because he was not born. Moses couldn't have been able to write the book of Genesis. He wasn't born then. So how did he write it? It was when God passed. And then God transported Moses. And then he saw Genesis 1. And then Moses began to write. He began to craft. This government has the capacity to enter the past and fix it. Because I thought the past was done away with. But to your minds, the past doesn't exist. You know, they used to sing an old religious song, yesterday is gone. No, it's not. Because God is the only one that can transport himself into yesterday. And those were the encounters that Moses experienced. So when we read of these encounters of Moses, it is giving us a picture of what we should be greater than. So everything they encountered, again, I'm saying carefully, spoke of hope in the future. For us that is born again, we have a far higher order. In other words, they were expecting the government of God to be established and then God will rule over the earth. But in today's world, in our reality, we do not expect the government anymore. That's why it makes sense now when Jesus says, when you're talking about this government, don't say, lo, it is there or here. That government, when you gave your life to Christ, now sits on your inside. It now sits there. What saddens me, ladies and gentlemen, is that God has released his government on the earth through us. But we are always thinking of the good life. So we look at the world and we use the world as our measuring tool. It is a contradiction. It is a fupa. It is obnoxious for you to compare the government of God to the government of this world. We are in a superior race. We're not in a normal class. Please follow me carefully. And then we must come to the point where we understand that what we have, angels were craving for. In all their ages, they didn't have what we have. They wanted it. I'm going to show you in a bit. And so Moses, who did not see Jesus, saw that the wealth of the world could not be compared to sufferings in Christ. And maybe I need to explain a little further, because you might just think, for example, now that Moses didn't have anything, that's why he esteemed the reproach in Christ over riches. No, Moses was raised in opulence. He saw money. He sat in the seat. You know, God, like, can I just digress a little? God's an amazing God. God raises the enemy of those people. This God. You know, I was listening to the apostle, and that's why you must hear the ears of the Spirit. When he said, and God told him that he was the replacement for somebody who was unfaithful. Isn't it interesting how God does his things? How he decides to use the foolish to confound the wise? Isn't it God that uses the weak to mess up the strong? So God took the very person they were looking for. This is our God. The very person, he took the person and kept him in their midst, and they raised him with wealth. So Moses knew opulence. So wealth was not the problem. In all the wealth that Moses had, something greater was ticking on his inside. As a young man many years back, hustling in London, England, I always wanted to drive a Mercedes Benz. It was my desire to drive one. I finally saved up enough money to buy myself. At that time, you used to have what was known as the V-boot. If you remember the Mercedes Benz, the V-boot, it was the old E-200. I felt like a G when I finally had enough money to buy it. I bought a red one at the time. And then I went to pick up the vehicle after paying. I paid for it. You didn't buy it, I paid for it. And when I sat in the car, I did not feel different from when I was driving a Corolla. I don't know how that happened, but something just snapped inside me. So what was the noise all about? What was the big deal? It's just a car. The feeling I thought I would get, I did not get. If anything at all, I had a feeling of inadequacy. You buy a house, a massive mansion, 6 bedroom, 6 toilets, 6 baths with swimming pools, and then your children wake up one day and say they don't want to live there. They move out of the house, like my own children have done. I have 2 of my children who's graduated university. They left home. Now the house seems empty. What I thought was the blessing, now we are looking for how to downsize. Because if you hear one noise in one room where nobody is staying. Follow me carefully. The prophets were all aware that Jesus was coming, but they couldn't figure it out. After it was the prophet who gave us the text. For unto us a child is born, and a son is given. So what Moses and the prophets we're looking for in the future is our reality. If it is our reality, why are we still living as slaves? When we are carrying in ourselves the essence of God. Colossians chapter 2. Give me the New Living Translation if you have it. In the NLT translation. Colossians chapter 2 verses 2 and 3. I'll preach it to you. Just bear with me. Colossians chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. Is that the NLT? correct. Watch what it says here. It says, I want them to be encouraged and knit together by strong ties of love. I want them to have complete confidence that they understand God's mysterious plan. So God's project, please hear me. Hear me carefully. God's project is Christ. That's the mystery. Christ. What God wants you and I to understand is the revelation of Christ. Once we get that revelation, we have his government. Watch this scripture. Watch it. Leave the scripture there. Don't take it away. It says that they understand God's mysterious plan. And it says, which is Christ himself. Look at the next verse. When we then have the revelation of that government, it then says, in him, in who? Christ. In him lies hidden all the treasures, not some. All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge is hidden in him. This wisdom here is not the ability to know something. It's talking about this wisdom here. Oh, help me, Lord. It was this wisdom. This wisdom here is a person. Jesus said, I, wisdom, was with him from the beginning. And you must understand that in the motions of the Spirit, there are many beginnings. So when you read in Genesis 1, verse 1, that says, in the beginning God created, that was not the beginning in itself. That beginning was an activity, because if you then come to John chapter 1 and verse 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word. So that beginning now is a person, not an activity. So in Christ lies, keep the scripture of Colossians 2, keep it there. It says, lies all treasures. So when we come into the revelation of Christ, we begin to showcase our heritage. What's our heritage? All wisdom. All knowledge. Jeff Bezos has nothing compared to what is about to come out of you. Oh, your amens are weak. I know what I'm talking about. Because the wisdom they are operating by is sensual. It's not in the degree that you have. The challenge that you have is that you don't recognize quickly who you are. Because if you knew that you were God's government on the earth, you won't behave the way you are behaving. How do I know? Remember, go back to verse 2 of that Colossians 2. It says that they may understand God's mysterious plan. What is that mysterious plan? How do we bring that government on the earth? It says that plan is Christ. So a revelation of Christ reveals the government in us. Look at somebody and say, I'm God's government. Oh, don't say yes, I'm God's government. So the strategy, thank you very much. The strategy of God was that Christ would conquer. In other words, when Jesus came, the rule of God came. When Jesus was living, this was the plan. Jesus would now multiply himself in us so that God's government would be established. For this to happen, we have to align ourselves with God's plan. And then, only then, shall we come into the fullness of the riches of wisdom and knowledge. Until we come into that full revelation, we are still beginning. In other words, watch this. When we come into that fullness, which is in Christ. So when you have Christ inside you, you have that fullness with you. When you have that fullness, watch this carefully. You will not be asking God when the sick is brought out to say, Lord, heal the sick. It's wrong. If we preach this gospel, sir, you will think it's heretic in nature. Because when we are praying, if the sick were brought out here now, we want to say, Lord, heal him. Have you noticed many a times, 95% of the time, that person doesn't get healed? Why? Because God has sent you. Let me show you from scripture so that you don't run amok. In Acts chapter 3, the Bible reads in verse 1. It says there was a certain man that was kept at the gate called Beautiful. You remember the story? And the Bible says he sat there to receive alms. He was lame. Alms was not his problem. He could have been healed. Peter and John were now walking in the light of this revelation that we are now talking about. They began to see these things. Then they went to him. They did not pray. Go and read it. The Bible says they were having a conversation with him because of the realization of what they had. What was the realization? Peter and John were not human beings then. They were entities of God's government. Peter represented faith and John represented love. Faith and love, the unbeatable combination for a miracle. So they were speaking to him. They said to him, now listen, it's not money that you need. So when he said, silver and gold have I none, he was not saying they don't have money. What they were saying is that that's not what you need. Then they said, such as I have. They didn't say God, such as God has. They said, such as I have, give I unto you. Can I make a crazy announcement? Jesus is not healing anybody anymore. He has sent his sons and daughters. The natural government was meant to provide hospital for the sick. The government of God was to make sure that the sick. Don't pray here. Oh, glory. I give you another example. One time in the book of James, the Bible says the apostles came into town. Then they said, is there any sick amongst you? If you read it in the Greek, it was like a cheeky question. It's like, if you understand this thing I've been teaching you people, there shouldn't be anyone sick here. That's what they were saying. So what they were saying is that, peradventure, some people have not gotten it yet. They said, is there any sick amongst you? Listen to what they said next. It didn't say, pray for them. He said, let them call for the elders of the church. The prayer of the elders, which is now the prayer of faith, will heal. Let me not get down. A day is coming to House of Treasures, Apostle, where when we have service, you know, it's becoming a 7,000 seater. You know, when it becomes 7,000, 10,000, 15,000 here, you can't be calling everybody out. Because this church would have been taught. Somebody sitting down next to them who has been in House of Treasures 5 years, we look at that person. Are you ill? You can't be ill. I'm sitting down here. I am representative of the government of God. And my portfolio is the anointing to heal. Yeah, the government, the constitution of our government says, you shall lay hands on the sick, and the sick shall recover. Can I make an announcement? That power of that government is about to hit us in this place. Let me give you one more. Luke chapter 10 and verse 19. And I want you to read it yourself. King James translation. Luke chapter 10 and verse 19. What he says here. And I want everybody to read out loud and very boldly. One, two, go. Oh, come, stop. Read like our mother used to shout at. Did you hear Apostle's voice? You know, an apostle wants to start praying. When he wants to chase demons, his decibel changes. I used to feel sorry for the demons that hang around. Everybody read, one, two, go. Read out loud, go. Behold. Stop. I give unto who? What did he give you? Leave it there. He said, behold, I give unto you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over how many power of the enemy? So why are you coming to a prayer meeting and asking God to do what he has given you? That's why there is no healing in church. Because you're busy saying, Jesus, come and heal him. And God is saying, what are you talking about? I've given unto you power. So if there's anyone sick in your family, they must hold you responsible. Because your government has the best healthcare system. What's that healthcare system? By his stripes. Not you are going to be healed. So anywhere you enter, the government of God has entered. Oh, I like that. Even if I didn't say any other thing. Anywhere you enter. You must start walking in that consciousness. Any place I step in, the presence of God has entered. According to Luke 10 and verse 19, anywhere I enter, the power of God has entered. So I don't pray, Lord, give me power. I am power. I don't pray, Lord, give me money. When you look for money, look at me. You're not hearing me here. God showed, this is how our government works. He said to Moses, this thing about looking into the perfect law of liberty, I don't have time. I'm rushing too many things. Is with the sign. Look, Ma, the children of Israel were ill. And then God said to Moses, he said, take a serpent, kill it, put it on the stick. He said, if they see, they get healed. That thing is the word today. When you see it, you become what you see. That's the mysterious plan that God has. That when Christ comes in you, you then have a hope for glory. So in other words, when I'm walking, I walk with glory. I was coming on the flight from Houston to Doha. I flew by Qatar. And then I wasn't sitting in business class, until I was sitting in a premium economy or something. And I'm sitting down there, and this hostess walks past me and then stops. She says, you are not a normal person. I don't know what she saw, because I was just being myself. But I sat down. There's a consciousness of who I know that I am. And because I have that consciousness, there is something that is around me that I can't see, but they see. I'm telling you, the only reason why they don't see it in you is that you are not conscious of it yourself. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did not see the fourth man. It was Nebuchadnezzar who saw him. His eyes was open to that dimension. They saw another angle of God. How do you throw human beings into a fire that was heated seven times, and yet all they were doing is, the Lord is good and his mercy endures to all generations. The reason why you are in problems and you complain is that you have not yet understood that I carry that government. Throughout the flight, she kept coming. Is there anything I could do for you, sir? Is there anything you want? She brought the meal, brought another one. She brought the drink, brought another one. In fact, I feel that those that were around in the plane were beginning to suspect that there must be something to it. Oh, let them suspect all they like. Because I have the government of God on my inside. The favor of God rests upon my life. I stand on this holy altar and I declare to you that government shall find expression in your life. The reason why I said that everywhere we go, we carry the government of God in us, because the Bible says, for as he is, put it up, 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2. beg. You know, when Apostle be telling you we don't pray for money here, he's not boasting. He's showing you a picture of who you should be. Watch what he says. He says, beloved, now are we the sons, and I will explain that sons in a moment, the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know. The word know there is the old Greek word ginosko, that means to experience. But we will experience that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. That appearance is not the second coming. That appearance is that when you have now caught a revelation of the mystery, which is Christ, the fullness of wisdom and knowledge. He said, when you have that, put it back there. Put it back up there for me, guys. Don't take it off. He said, and when he shall appear, we shall be like him. And we shall see him as he is. Let me explain. Oh God. When he said you shall be like him, he's simply saying that when you now have the revelation of his fullness, you become his twin. That's what made them Moses hope. They couldn't fathom what that picture was. They could sense it, but they did not know. But now you and I now are the revelatory image. Do you know, I had a young preacher say this once. He said, do you know that if you and Jesus came and you were walking and Moses appeared there when it was his time, or even John, who was the last of the prophets, when they would look at both of them, they say, who is Jesus? He can point to you. Because when he has appeared, you shall be like him. In other words, when Jesus came on earth, it pleased him, it pleased God, that God would subdue himself into material form and come in the person of Jesus. I will show you from scripture in a minute. In other words, now watch this. When Jesus appeared on earth, it was the first time God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, the full governmental force of heaven, they embodied one man. Let me show you. So that you don't think pastor is running away. Let me show you one scripture. If I will get to that part. Let me see. Colossians 2. Colossians 2 and verse 9. I'm going to show it to you. So that you can understand why Apostle Felix is a mystery. Watch what he says. Put it up there. Everybody read 1, 2, go. For in him. Can I announce to you, that was the first time the angels saw God in his fullness. When Jesus was walking on the earth, it was the first time. They have never seen him in his fullness. The reason why, you know, the Bible will say to you that when the angels are worshiping God, they will bow their heads. And you know, they should tell us in Sunday school, 24 hours, 7 days of the week, they are saying holy. That's not what it means. It wasn't the reason was that every time they saw God, a dimension of God is revealed to them. As they bow, they will see wisdom. They will worship. When they bow and open their head, they will see another dimension. When they bow, they will see another dimension. But to you that have now become the government of God, all the summation of what the angels could not understand, now you have it. John 1 and verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Watch this. And the Word was. That fullness. Then in verse 14, he says, and the Word became. That word became flesh. That means the Word decided, God decided to become material. Full of grace and glory. I wanted to show the apostle something on my phone before I climbed up, but it was already here. I'm here. Somebody sent me, if I show it to you now, you sound like we are boasting. Somebody sent me thousands of dollars just here. I will show it to Apostle when I finish the service so that he can confirm. He sent it. And they've been calling. Sir, I just want to say I sent you money. I didn't ask them. But it pleased the Lord that in me should dwell the fullness. Are you learning anything? Luke chapter 19, let me go quickly and I will soon start closing because I know we have a service in the evening. Luke chapter 19, give me verse 12 and 13. I want to show us this and then I close. Everywhere you go, you must manifest the goodness of God. I stand on this altar and I stretch the scepter to you. Everywhere you enter, you shall manifest the favor of God. I know what I said. Anywhere you enter, you shall manifest the favor of God. Listen. Do you know, man? Apostle, hear me. If in the church today, when we start to operate in the dimension of the government, and a gift is made manifest. This is the problem. We take that gift and we put it behind the pulpit. So somebody has a manifestation, and we bring that person and bring it behind the pulpit. In our minds, the only place we can be holy is church. I don't know where, you know, I grew up a church boy. So when we leave church, we become normal. We swear, we curse, we drink alcohol, we chase another man's wife, when we leave church, that normalcy comes. But when we are coming to church, even the worst criminal behaves himself. It's a problem of the church. So when we have a manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit, which are the tools this government uses to function, we think it's for church. So all our mind is when we come to church, that's when the word of knowledge is in operation. That's why we look at certain people in the church, certain pastors, they've made themselves big because they gave word of knowledge. Foolishness. What they did not understand, go and read the scripture as well, is that when we manifest this operation and this gift finds expression in you, your job is to use the word of knowledge in the marketplace. That's where the church is. In the schools. That's why Jesus had to multiply himself in us so that you can carry that government. When you get to the school, don't tell me about LGBTQ and start wondering what the government is doing. No, if you were manifesting Christ, that person would have been saved. The gifts of the Spirit was not meant to be used in church. Luke chapter 19. I'll soon be done. Don't worry. Luke 19 from verse 12. This is Jesus telling a story now. He says, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a government and to return. Next verse. And he called his ten servants and delivered unto them 10 pounds. And he said, occupy. The word occupy, Apostle Felix, in our day-to-day is used by the United Nations. So, what they do is, the word occupy, if you go read the United Nations Charter, an occupying force is defined as a temporal form of government. So, when they conquer a place, when a country conquers a place, they send in, the United Nations will send in an occupying force. Their job is to, when they put their foot on the ground, is to occupy the territory by providing a type of government until a more permanent form of government comes. So Jesus said to them, he said, occupy. He didn't say for some time. He said, till I come. Maybe you don't understand this. So, Satan loves unoccupied places. When a place is unoccupied, that's what Satan loves. When a place is occupied, Satan can't function. The Bible says that that man who the demon was cast out of him, it says, the Bible says that the demon will come back to check if that place is unoccupied, if that place is occupied. And then when they came, they found out that the place was unoccupied. And the Bible says they went and brought seven more terrible demons to inhabit him. God sent us to occupy. Now watch this. The word dominion, and I'm putting it together now, is the old Hebrew word that says foothold. When Jesus said, and let them have dominion, the word dominion in the Hebrew tongue is the word, the Latin word for it is the word basilia. The word basilia means the sole or the base of your foot. So the word dominion means foothold. That's why when he was saying to Joshua, when you want to bring in God's government, every place that the sole of your foot, when you put your foot there, sir, the government of God has come. What's that government? Now we have dominion. That's why when Jesus was saying through Paul to the church in, he was in Ephesus, he said to them, having done all to stand, the moment we don't stand, our government is not in place. Follow me carefully. Every time Jesus referenced the kingdom, go and study the government that God gave Adam. Why is dominion different? You can't have dominion without land. You can have a kingdom without land, but you can't have dominion without it. That's why when you own land, you are called a landlord. So when God is going to be introduced, when Jesus is going to be introduced, he wasn't just introduced as King of Kings. That should have been enough. But he says, and Lord. God knowing that he has given man foothold dominion over the earth. This is the reason God could establish his kingdom on the earth, but couldn't have access to the land. So to have access on the land, God has to be in you. When he's in you, he's able to put his foot on the ground. That's why Satan possesses people. Satan is not omnipotent. He's not omnipresent. He's not omniscient. Satan is not everywhere. But Satan knows the principle that if I can inhabit this person, you are the only one that God has given permission. 24 hours ago, I was in Houston, Texas. Now, I'm in Johannesburg, South Africa. There is no demon that can fly from Houston to Johannesburg. They have to find a foothold. The embassy of the United States is in Sandton. There is no American army there. But you cannot enter that place. Because when you enter that place, even though it is Sandton, it is territory of the United States. The same pact, oh God. The same power that fights to protect Washington is fighting to protect Sandton. One day I heard Apostle Felix say, if you go play the tape, I think it was two ownerships ago, he said he's praying that if South Africa can just have 100 of us, of the mentality we have in House of Treasures. 100 Apostle Felix, we'll take over this place. Why didn't you say if we had money or influence or land? No. It's because you are the one that carries it within you. So the Bible then talks about this serpent. I'm going to close now. If you watch the Geographical National Television, Apostle Felix, the serpents or snakes, at that time, they had legs. Please follow me. I'm going to close now. They had legs. Go watch it. It's there live. If you, on Google, if you say, show me a snake upside down, you will see the places where the legs of the serpent was. There are stumps. There are places there to show you that there were legs on this place at one time. When the serpent had deceived Eve and took away her place of operating in revelation to the place where they now had to learn how to operate, hear what God said to the serpent. He said, I will smite you and then you shall be eating dust. So dust became the legitimate food for the serpent. The moment God uttered that judgment, the legs of the serpent squeezed in themselves. So on his belly, he would crawl. Anywhere where there is dust, he has a right to enter. Because God has given to him as food. When Jesus then came, knowing that he needed to deal with this dust entity, he sat the disciples down and said, I will wash your feet. He said, let me wash your feet. Peter said, you can't wash my feet. Jesus said to him, if you don't let me wash your feet, you cannot be part of me. What was he saying? Remember when Jesus said to the disciples, go there and introduce this government to them. He said, if they refuse the government, what did he do? He said, shake the dust. The reason why Jesus said, shake the dust from off your feet is so that when you go home, you don't bring dust into your house. Why? Because if you bring dust into your house, you have given Satan a right, the legitimate food. Stand up, let me close. I'm done. Stand up. Play for me. That you don't understand something doesn't mean that thing is wrong. A friend of mine called me apostle. He said, you are very close to Apostle Felix. I said, yes. He said, Apostle Felix is wrong. He's committing a heretic. I've never told him this. First time you're hearing from me. He said, why is he washing feet in his church? I looked at him. I said, it's a pity. If he knew, he wouldn't have said those things. The Bible says, had they known, they would not have crucified. They didn't know. You know, Apostle Felix was saying, I watch the services every time I'm abroad. He kept saying, he searched on YouTube, ma, and he didn't find anyone teaching on the governmental church. Remember, he said that in one of the services. He said he didn't find anyone. It's where God is taking us to. When we understand this, we take over pick and pay. Look, the problem we have is when we step out of this place, sir, we forget what manner of man that we are. That's the problem. Now understand what the fathers understood. You hear a father, an apostolic father, they went on aircraft. Bishop, everybody, the thing is going to crash. And they say, well, you know, we are not crashing. It's a higher order. You,
maybe you don't understand what Pastor was saying earlier. He said Moses will take sand and throw it. It became flies. And yet, Moses is not in our category. It's because you don't know what your government has to offer. My God shall supply. How many needs? It's a governmental statement. It is enshrined in the constitution of the Commonwealth of Zion. When Jesus came to introduce the government, he said, take no thought what to eat, drink, or wear. For your government knows. For your government knows that you have need of these things. He said, take no thought.
That's right.
Sometimes we shout too much in church. That's why you don't get anything. That shouting becomes sensationalism. Because then you're not waiting for the pastor to move in power. When you are the power yourself. Out of your belly. It is out of the pastor's belly. Out of your belly. How can the one in my belly come to you? Out of your belly. The 12 tribes of Israel, sir, were 12 dimensions of God. So when you wanted wisdom, you went to the tribe of Bezalel and Oholiab. When you wanted to understand the signs of times, you went to the sons of Issachar. In other words, in this building, there are dimensions of this government. So there are some people, they carry healing. Some people, they carry knowledge. Some people, they carry finance. And when we all put them together, then we come to the fullness of the stature. You know, sometimes there are some things I read them in scripture and I can't understand. Pharaoh will stand at his balcony in the night, sir. He will stand there and he will be troubled. He will look from his balcony. He will see the slaves in Goshen. He will be troubled. What will trouble you about slaves? He could do sleep. Slaves. One day he called the senators together. He said, these people. He said, if we are not careful, he said, they will join themselves to another country. Did you read that scripture? That another country wasn't talking about another nation. This was it. Pharaoh did not know how to translate what he was thinking. That another country was God. That if these people entered into a country, he knew there was something higher. He just couldn't pronounce it. So what he pronounced... Then one day Moses showed up and said, let my people go. That we go and serve him. He said, we want to go and worship our God. Pharaoh called the senator and said, I told you, these people, now I know what it is. That there is a God somewhere. Then he sat down to strategize. That's Satan. He doesn't give up. They sat down to strategize how they will stop them. They decided to use time. They did not know that time was an embodiment in wisdom. I can suspend time.
That's right.
I don't have time to get to that part. I am in control of time. Mm-hmm. That added that they say time waits for no man is a lie. It's a worldly statement. For he pointed to the sun in the valley of Ashkelon. He said, time stop. See what Pharaoh said. He said they want to take this thing. He said, you know what? How many bricks do they produce? Let us, for argument's sake, say they were producing 1 billion bricks a day. He said, tell them that they must produce 1 billion bricks from 9 o'clock to 5 o'clock. And it must not reduce. This time, don't give them raw materials. Because they think they have time. That's why. Don't give them raw materials. And yet, the bricks must be completed at the right time. Sir, what kind of technology did they discover to go and build? Yet, the bricks did not reduce. Oh, God. Yet they were slaves. They were carrying a dimension of God's government. And they did not know. We are playing in church, man. And say fire prayers. What is a fire prayer? My friend, leave that business. You must understand what the fire of God is in you first. Amen. Then you will speak fire from the heavens. And it will consume the sacrifice. These men knew these things. Yet, they were not of the order that we came from. Bezalel and Oholiab. Craftsmen by wisdom. They were building things that people have not seen in their lives. How do you build a tower to enter into the heavens? The technology at that time was the technology of an aeroplane. God said, if you don't stop this thing, they will enter into the heavens. Is it not happening on the earth today? Spacecraft are going into space. The thoughts of man. And yet all you can think of is what to eat, drink, and wear. I don't have a car. That's why I didn't come to church. If you understand this government that you carry, you will just say church and you appear here. They wanted to kill Jesus one time. The Bible says he went in the midst of them. He went through them. And yet, can I help you, sir? Jesus didn't know the things that Paul taught us. Jesus only taught us redemption. Paul came to teach us who we are. He said in Ephesians 2:10, he said we are God's workmanship. The word workmanship, sir, is the Greek word poema. The word poema means a poem. Have you seen when a guy writes a lady a poem? How the head of the lady scatters. That's how God sees you. You are a poem to... You are a poem to God. And then the Bible says it pleased him that the fullness of the Godhead. That's why when we gather like this, angels come. They don't come to show their presence. They come to learn what we are learning. I'm telling you now, where angels are here, because the things that we are learning here is university for them. They say, what? What is this? What? Why? Because in us, when they see you, they see him. Maybe you don't understand it. Put it up there. Psalms 114, verse 2 and 3. Psalms 114. I'm done. Psalms 114, verses 2 and 3. Put it up. The Bible says Judah was a sanctuary. So Judah is one of the technologies of God. How do you explain singing? You sang and sang and danced and danced. Then the armies were already defeated. You didn't go and fight them. You just sang. And your song became a weapon. You don't know what you carry. That's your problem. For how shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? He said Judah was his sanctuary and Israel his dominion, his foothold. Verse 4. The sea saw it. What did the sea see? The Bible says the mountains began to skip like rams. What it was saying that the mountains, they will see God. But who were they looking at? It was the children of Israel. Man, how can you explain? They wore clothes and for 40 years they didn't change. The clothes grew on them. We must watch that video when we get to heaven. I know what I'm telling you. Can I show you one more scripture and I close? Is that okay? Second Corinthians chapter 10. Give me from verse 3. Keep standing, everyone. Don't sit. Stand. I don't want to preach fire because it's morning service. So let's talk to ourselves
In the evening, those that are coming will give us the fire dose. But when you are coming in the evening, you already know. When others are busy rushing up, they say, "Would you come back?" You say, "No, no, I understand now. I am occupying. I am taking dominion. I have authority." Look at what it says here. It says, "For though we walk in the flesh," it says, "for we do not war after the flesh." Verse 4. "For the weapons." I wish there was time. I really wanted to deal with wisdom, but it's not my remit. Amen. "For the weapons of our warfare are not physical." That's the word carnal. They're not physical. It says, "but they are spiritual." The word mighty is the Hebrew Greek word for spiritual. It says, "but they are spiritual through God." That's that mystery. What is in you? So that thing in you now is not carnal. "Through God to the pulling down of strongholds." Remember, we need to push them out of the territory so you can occupy. Remember, Jesus said, if you want to plunder the house of a strong man, you must first of all do what? How do we now exercise this? See what he says here. He said, "casting down image nation." The word imagination is two English words, image and nation. So anything that forms itself contrary to the picture and the mystery of God in your heart. He said, "cast it down." What is that thing? He said, "and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God." Watch what he says next. "And you will bring into captivity every thought." That's where the issue is. Because I don't know who I am. You are worried that you have not gotten married. You will sit down in your house where you understand authority. You will act like the Bible says. "And Isaac lifted up his eyes and they were bringing the wife to him." It's a dimension in God, sir. You call your husband. He's a spirit man somewhere. He would hear that voice. Coming to a fast 7 days to get a husband. You should be ashamed of yourself. He says you must bring into captivity every thought to the what? That obedience is the one in you he's talking about. Oh, I've no time to explain. Look at the next verse. Go to verse 6. "When you have brought every thought to the obedience of Christ, then you will have in readiness to revenge." In other words, when you have now received the fullness of the government in you, you will look at poverty and say, "you afflicted my church. We couldn't build a building." Then you will use wealth to revenge. That's what the Bible was saying here. Said you exact revenge until your obedience is full. I wanted to lead us in prayer. No. The Lord just said to me, "tell them to make the declaration. I am the government of God." We get angry with the ANC government because they are not doing what they are supposed to do. No roads, no water. That's how they get angry with the church. We are the government of God. Now you understand when Apostle Felix stands on the altar and says, "after we have finished all this building, then we build a school. Then we build a hospital. Then we build a hotel." Do you understand what is happening here now? When you step out on Monday morning, after the conference is over, you enter your office, "I'm God's government." Listen. They will have a crisis in that company. You are a junior manager or a clerk or something. They will have a crisis. Then they will look for the Josephs. Who by the government of God will show them the answer. Then the CEOs will say, "and who shall we place head over this matter? For there is none as wise and discreet." I don't pray for promotion. I show them that I am promotion.
know about you. When you get home, stand in front of your mirror and say, mirror, mirror. Now, who is the government of God? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. We have come to change the land. For in him we live. In him we move. One man sat down selling books and then decided to sell everything online. His name is Jeff Bezos. He found it. He knew it was possible. Governments are now attending. One man. That they are making laws to stop them from taking over everything. One man. When you get home, go and watch the rise and fall of Amazon. You see that these guys were obsessed. You are not obsessed with Jesus. Apostle has just built 7,000. It is a travesty, an anomaly, an aberration, that after 1 month, this building is not filled. Then it means nobody's seen the image of God in you. He says, and when the Holy Ghost shall come upon you, you shall be my witnesses. He didn't say, it is where we shall go witnessing. He said, you shall be my witness. What's a witness? That you are the proof. They saw power, man, in Paul. One time there were people sick. They did not go and meet Paul. They waited for him to go out. Then they went to go and take his pants. The Bible says they took his aprons. They didn't wait for the man. They said he has gone. But we know whatever power is in him is in this apron. And they took apron and handkerchiefs and placed them upon the sick, and they were healed. And yes, somebody sick is sitting down next to you. All of you pastors that you're saying, where will your church grow? Don't worry. Stay in the place of God's government. Yeshua. Lift your voice, say Yeshua. Listen. You know, they tell us that angels worship better. It's not true. When we worship, angels come. Because they find revelation when we open our mouths to sing to him. Worship is not what we do before we come to preach. Worship is to usher in the mirror image of who we are. For as he is, so are we. I don't know how you can hear a word like this. You know, the shouting won't make you take out an offering, but your worship will. For some of you, it's for things that you don't understand. When you take out that offering, you touch that altar, don't be in a hurry. I don't know where we are running to. Please let me say this. I'm not pastoring anymore, but let me say it to you all. It is a strategy of the devil that churches now want to hold services 1 hour, 30 minutes. I'm telling you, 1 hour, 30 minutes, you're already hurrying to get out of God's presence. If you knew God, you would sit down there. They finish the service, you and your children, you're still there. Praise and worship, 5 minutes. How?
Yeshua.
Yes, Lord.
One more time.
Yeshua.
Dearly beloved, we believe you've been greatly blessed by this sermon. Do you want to download more sermons of your favorite preachers? Visit www.spiritnerds.org today. Reach us by email for more information and concerns at spiritnerds.org@gmail.com. God bless you.